Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Members of Congress are trying to put in place an amendment that would impact security at the airports. And here to talk to us about it, Jeff Freeman, President and CEO of U.S. Travel Association. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Newell, it's good to be with you again.
Senator Jeff Merkley and Senator John Kennedy are the authors of this amendment. What are they trying to do?
Well, right now, Congress is looking at funding the Federal Aviation Administration, approving a lot of new reforms that are necessary to improve the air travel process. And in the process of doing that, we've had a couple senators introduce really dangerous legislation and amendment to this that would restrict the use of biometrics in the airports. You know, biometrics are fingerprints, biometrics are eye scans, biometrics are facial recognition. It's all the things that we need to improve TSA, to improve the facilitation of travelers. It's the type of stuff that two-thirds of travelers support. But these folks, this amendment they're proposing, would set us back 20 years in terms of just doing everything based on a physical license, doing everything kind of that hard way we did it pre-9/11, which would be really, really detrimental.
So this would even prohibit those that volunteer to do so as well?
Right. That's the concern. This would ban the use of facial recognition and other things, those that use clear for your eyes, those that use the fingerprint scan. This would ban those types of things from proceeding. That's a massive concern to us. Travelers recognize that the future is biometrics. You know, I was with TSA leadership last week in Atlanta, and we were looking at their new digital ID that was processing travelers in 6 seconds or less. And to think that that type of technology could be eliminated if something like this proceeds is what really has us concerned. Now, fortunately, the Senate Commerce Committee released a draft of the FAA bill today or late last night. It did not include this amendment. But this thing's going to the floor on Wednesday of this week, and we're concerned that these senators may continue to pursue this. And it's misguided, I think. We all understand risks associated with facial recognition. We hear of things that are done in other countries. I fear in an effort to address concerns that they would substantially limit the possible, limit the ability to give travelers a better experience, and that is so concerning to us.
So what is their hang up with this? What is their motivation?
Yeah, I think their motivation, despite a lot of briefings, is concern about what would the government do with your eye scan, your facial scan, your fingerprints. Well, the truth is the government has a lot of this information already. For those that have a passport, the government has this information. When you go and get a real ID driver's license, the government has this information. The interesting thing about what happens in the airport is they will use your facial scan connected to your passport photo, and then the photo is deleted. It's not even saved within TSA or other government computers outside of what's already within the passport office. So I think their concern is what they've seen done in perhaps some other countries and the way perhaps some of these other countries use that information. I think we have a vastly different situation here in the United States. We want to create systems that are opt-in, and that goes back to your earlier question. If travelers don't want to provide this information, they can do that. 65% of travelers today do not join TSA PreCheck. They want to go in the normal standard line where they provide less information about themselves and they get, frankly, a clumsier experience. But for those who want to provide more information about themselves, for those who are willing to share that information in exchange for a better experience, that's the type of thing we need to protect. That's the type of thing we need to grow. Because I think, you know, when I look at Jazz Fest in New Orleans right now, when I look at business travelers who are on the road frequently, you know, informed, experienced travelers are more and more comfortable each year providing information in exchange for a more streamlined experience.
Jeff, I fall on whatever I need to give you in order to get through that line quicker. If it means I share my underwear size with you guys, you got it. I want to get through the line. That's all I want to do. And I want to take off the least amount of belts, this, watches, whatever, as possible in order to do so. I mean, I think most people I talk to, that's where they fall on this issue.
That's the point, Newell. I think if you look at the security experience for those who are not in TSA PreCheck, that experience from a traveler standpoint really hasn't changed much since 9/11. People are still taking liquids out. They're taking their shoes off. They're taking their belt off. They're taking their laptop out. It doesn't have to be that way. And we see that in PreCheck, that there's an alternative. But if we want to continue to innovate, if we want to continue to evolve the experience, then we need to use biometrics. We need to use the most modern and accurate information we can in order to process travelers more securely and more efficiently. That's what TSA is proposing to do. I give TSA a ton of credit here. TSA and their current administrator is seeking to innovate at every turn, and unfortunately, we have a couple folks in Congress who want to stop innovation. That's what keeps us up at night.
How many openings are there in TSA? Last time I saw it, it was a crazy number. I mean, they're having the same experience that law enforcement's having. That's this lack of human capital. It begs of technology, right?
Such a good point. Whether it's TSA, Customs, wherever it is in the governmental workforce, there are a shortage of employees. And for those that come into the United States internationally, Americans coming back into the country, we have the option of joining Global Entry, where you don't even meet with a customs officer. You just go to a kiosk. You confirm that you are who you say you are. You eventually hand a document to a customs officer on the way out. But that's all there is, right? That's how we can take one person and enable them to service hundreds of people. We just don't have enough officers to do things the old-fashioned way. And the truth is, and you'll hear this from law enforcement, the old-fashioned way wasn't as secure as we thought it was. You know, when you and I bring in our plastic driver's license, that is nowhere near as accurate. And the reading of that is nowhere near as accurate as facial, as using eyes or fingerprints. Biometrics are so much more accurate. So sometimes we seem to get stuck in our old way of doing things. Doing things in a new way is both a better use of limited resources, to your point, as well as a security benefit in terms of its accuracy. And that's what, you know, again, some members of Congress don't fully understand. That's why we're working so hard to prevent people from taking us back to yesteryear. And we're working hard to give travelers what they want which is a more efficient and secure system.
You know, Jeff, and those that talk about or worry about, well, you know, what if the automation gets it wrong? I mean, the beauty of this, though, is that typically people that are traveling, right, they have a secondary, they have another form of ID, whether it be their passport or their driver's license, that you're able to fall back to right then and there. And the system is set up to accept that as well.
Yeah, indeed, that happens. I frequently use Clear. And even when you use Clear one out of every five times or so, you're still required to show your ID to the TSA officer. They have fail-safe mechanisms. They have backstops on all of these things. So I think that the question becomes, if we want people to travel, and I believe we do, I believe it supports the New Orleans economy. I believe it's incredibly important to Louisiana and just about every other corner of this country. If we want people to travel, we've got to look at the frictions in the travel process and figure out how we remove them. The simple truth is that aviation in the United States today is more difficult than it should be. Whether it's the TSA screening process, the fact that nearly a quarter of all flights are delayed or canceled, many of them due to the fact that air traffic control is thousands of air traffic controllers short of where they need to be. When you look across the aviation experience, it's not the first-rate experience that Americans should expect. That's what we have to address, right? That this is, for those of you, you know, your listeners wondering, why are we talking about this? Because it's directly tied to the New Orleans economy. All those visitors coming in each and every week, it's critical that we give those visitors, if we want to increase the numbers, the most efficient, secure experience possible to encourage them to get out of their homes, get off their couch, and get down to New Orleans.
Absolutely. Jeff, well, I have you. You brought up air traffic controllers. You and I have talked about this at least two or three times. Where do we stand right now? Has there been any improvement in the hiring process of additional ATCs?
So, great question. This same FAA bill that I'm talking about that came out of committee last night that's going to go to the floor of the Senate this week and the House floor next week, puts in place new staffing standards that should help close the gap. As I said, we're about 3,000 air traffic controllers short of where we need to be. This new bill requires FAA to implement improved staffing standards. It also sets maximum hiring targets to increase air traffic controller staffing. So this is going to push FAA and provide them with needed resources to address this issue. It's not going to be easy, right? Air traffic control is a tough job. You've got to be competitive. Yeah. You've got to be aggressive in how you go after these folks. So we're all going to need to support FAA as they pursue this, but we're thrilled to have Congress as a partner in really raising the bar for FAA, providing some of the needed resources, and closing the gap on the thousands of air traffic controllers that we're currently lacking.
Jeff, I think you would back me up on this because I'm sure you've been in an air traffic control building. All you need to do is go spend about 30 minutes up there and watch what they're doing and how fast these decisions are being made and all these blips on the screens, and you have a new appreciation for what they do.
What they do is incredible. It goes underappreciated too often. It's a tough job, and it's a stressful job, right? You've got a big obligation when you're in this role, and that's why they need folks supporting them. They need Congress providing the necessary dollars. They need from the private sector and the public sector a greater sense of support for how important this role is. They're getting that from the travel industry. Nobody is fighting harder to bring in more air traffic controllers, to make sure that they have suitable wages, to address underlying issues. No one's working harder than the broader travel industry. What air traffic controllers do is incredibly important to all of us, and we've certainly got their back when it comes to providing the resources they need.
Jeff, if you don't mind, I'm going to impose on you one last time. The airline industry is at a tough point right now, right?
Well, let's look at it. Demand for air travel is off the charts. You know, I think we go back 4 years, people were wondering what the heck's going to happen to the travel industry. It would have been hard to imagine how fast this industry rebounded and what the demand for travel would be. I think that here in the United States, the major carriers, the discount carriers, many of them are doing well. They've learned throughout COVID where there were some inefficiencies in their business models. I listened to the earnings reports from the major carriers, and a lot of them are stronger than they were several years ago. The issue for many of them is the underlying problems in the system. We have an antiquated air traffic control system. We're still using ground-to-air radar, where we could be using GPS to be more efficient in certain areas. We've got concerns around pilot shortages as pilots get older. So there's a lot of underlying issues that the average flyer doesn't see. If we can address those underlying issues, some of which are addressed in this FAA legislation, we can build a stronger system. What I would say, though, is that Americans should demand a stronger system. I think we collectively are a little bit too passive. We accept what is as the way it has to be. Our air travel system can be a heck of a lot more efficient, a heck of a lot more comfortable, a heck of a lot more inviting for the traveler. And I think travelers should demand that, put that pressure on their elected officials to give them the world-class aviation system that they expect.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up it. It's a lot of the stuff that doesn't really reveal itself to the traveler, because that's what I was talking about. There's so many issues and the confluence of these issues that really are kind of outside of the airline industry's control in many respects, but has a significant impact on their day-to-day operations.
Well, I'll give you a great example. The Florida airspace is one that is very problematic. Why is it problematic? Obviously, the demand, the number of planes are in the sky, but we're also launching more spaceships than we've ever launched before, more rockets than we've ever launched before, more satellites than we've ever launched before. And for that reason, it creates a lot of complexities, along with weather in Florida and all along the Gulf Coast, that creates other complexities. So you combine the other things that are competing for airspace, you combine weather, you combine an FAA that has been understaffed, and that's what leads to a lot of the delays and cancellations that we all experience. That's not to say airlines can't get better. They can and will get better. I'm pleased with the conversations I'm having with those leaders to understand the investments they're making. But I think it's important as travelers for us to understand that this is a multifaceted system. There are other entities that are involved, and those other entities need to do their job. They need to show up on behalf of travelers as well, and we're beginning to see a little bit more of that.
Absolutely. Jeff Freeman, as always, truly appreciate your time, your insight. You bring a lot of context to these issues, and we appreciate that as well. Thank you so much, sir. Have a great week.
Newell, thanks so much. Take care.
All right. It's Jeff Freeman, President and CEO of U.S. Travel Association. We will be right back, folks. We'll go back to the talk lines, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.